Here this morning, and a special welcome to those of you that are listening online. We're glad that you could join us whenever it is that you may listen. And I haven't got the clicker. Oh, slips. Thank you, Carrie. That's great. Just realised that. Getting ready to be fired up and move it along, and I didn't have the tools, Ray. Well, it is really good to be sharing with you today on Jesus Changes Everything. This is a great series, and we've had lots of challenges to think through. Tom led us through life's purposes, and I wonder how you've been finding taking that 10 minutes where you just sit quietly and allow your relationship with God to be focused. And then Taylor surely touched the heart when she looked at attitudes of our heart and why we get put out when someone, yes, even a little child, tiptoes into our time. And Greg looked at relationships and the impact that knowing God has, resulting in so many changes in our relationships with ourselves, with others, and with Jesus. And Tom on Easter Sunday is going to complete the series, The Ultimate Change. Well, what a difference can be seen in our life when we start processing how we think and feel and model it on what we see in Jesus and what he means to us. And now today to the topic, Jesus changes even the mundane moments in our life. Now, I've got to be honest and say that I had to look up what mundane really meant. I did learn it's an adjective, and it was just as well because I was that week looking after some children and we were learning about the different parts of the sentence, and I was able to explain what an adjective is. It's a describing word. And I want you to think for a moment about the moments for you that you would call mundane. The ones that lack interest or excitement, just plain dull, boring, repetitious, humdrum. Get the idea what mundane means? Now, I want you to be careful though. Don't go thinking out loud because you might offend the person who is sitting beside you, or if you're watching at home, someone that's on the couch beside you. Because your definition of interesting or mundane may be totally the opposite to what they might be thinking. Now, there was a second definition on Google search that really got me thinking. And this was the definition for mundane. It's of this earthly world rather than a heavenly or a spiritual one. This is on Google. This is what I read. Mundane. Now, mundane comes from the Latin word mundus, which originally referred to things on earth. Such things were supposed to be uninteresting when compared to the delights of heaven, hence the word and what it means to us today. I also learned that the Japanese Shinto religion refers to all that happens in this world here on earth as mundane. They have a gate that leads into a Shinto shrine that marks the transition from this mundane world to the sacred. But this is very different to what the Bible teaches about our life here on earth. And thanks to Tom for doing those Bible readings for us this morning. We're going to think for a little minute about Romans 12, 1 to 2. And I wonder if you noted in this reading that the sacrifice that we are to make is our bodies. Yes, ourselves. This will be holy and pleasing to God. Well, you're not mundane. You are indeed a treasure to God, and he longs to be in relationship with you. There is a tug that this verse refers to. We can get caught up in what our world is saying to us on social media and advertising, maybe the culture at work or in the sporting club that you belong to, or even in your own family. There can be cultures that you need to be mindful of. And you well know when that pull is at play. Someone was telling me yesterday of a bad culture in their workplace and what it did to them in that process. So it's real, and you'll know it when you experience it. God says, do not be conformed to those things, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, how does that happen? How do you renew the mind? And I think this series has been a really great start for us. Think through some of the things that we've talked about. Easy to say it on a Sunday morning, but they've all required thinking through, processing, and making changes to our life. So that's a great start to begin to get that transforming process happening in your mind. And Jesus, when you need to make those changes, he will empower you through the work of the Holy Spirit, because he longs for you to be like that in the image of Jesus. Every aspect of your life matters to God. Your purposes, your attitudes, your relationships, none of them are mundane to God. When you offer yourself, this is a spiritual act of worship here on earth. You don't need to enter special gates or come through the door of the church. You can know the delights of heaven wherever you are. Isn't that special? That's transformational when you think about those things. And let's look now at Colossians chapter 3, 23 to 24. And the kid spot gave us a great example of living this verse out. And whether you're a child or an adult, there is application for us all. Colossians 3, 24 says, whatever you do, whatever you do. Whether you're a student, a nurse, a teacher, a mum or dad caring for the little ones, an engineer, a retired volunteer, an IT worker, you might do mainly music here at church, bunch of blokes, Warrandyte Gardens. You might prepare morning tea, as people have already done, been welcomed on the door, sitting on the IT desk doing the recording right now. Whatever kind of work you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. In the previous chapters of Colossians, Paul has addressed issues relating to immediate family members. He's given words and instructions for husbands, wives, and children. And here in chapter 3, Paul begins a set of instructions for a bond servant. This is from the Greek word doulos, and it means a person under the command or the obligation of another. The word can be fairly translated as slave, although what modern people think of when they see the term slave is not quite how it was practiced in Paul's days. In this context, bond servants were considered part of a person's household. And yes, they did enjoy some level of freedom as their masters. But according to Paul, the servants were not totally free, and we know that for a fact, but submission and obedience was to be given to their masters. Rather than teaching Christian slaves to rebel, Paul instructed them to obey. Paul elsewhere sought freedom for a bondservant named Onesimus. And that's recorded in the book of Philemon. That's a great story to read. However, Christianity's unique success against slavery in the world came through changes to society rather than rebellion. And it was not until the late 1700s, and in some countries, even the 1800s, when slavery was abolished. In the first century that Paul lived in and other leaders, they did not have the power and the influence to change society. That's the reason why Paul writes for them to see things differently from within themselves in the world in which they were. Paul specifically says that this obedience is not for show, only when the master has his eye upon you. Shallow service, done only when the master is watching, is the kind of work done by a people pleaser rather than a God pleaser. Nor is it only supposed to meet the bare minimum requirements of the master. The clear point is that the bondservant was supposed to work for God's glory. The Christian bondservant was to serve with a sincerity of heart and fearing the Lord. This was not a Christian workplace, yet they were to honour God in their place of work. God sees and knows all, including the heart and its motives. Bond servants were to serve for God's pleasure and not merely just for their earthly master. And there would be an inheritance that God would provide for them. You know, the bond servant was never going to get an inheritance from the master. But how lovely that in this passage, God reminds them that he will be the provider of that inheritance, and it may be a heavenly one. And I just want to add one more thing as we think about slaves, bondservants, and masters this morning. In Colossians 4:1, Paul will mirror the same basic expectation for masters that he's just given to bondservants. In that verse, Paul will remind masters that they themselves are servants of a master in heaven, and they will be judged accordingly. And if you're a boss this morning and you have responsibility for people in your workplace, let me encourage you to look at Colossians 4, read the instructions, and see how that relates to you in your workplace, just as we're learning this morning of what it does for workers. You could easily call the work of a bondservant mundane. Yet how amazing that Paul speaks so clearly in this passage in a way that the bondservant was to work. They had no choice in their daily tasks, or they could not change masters just at the drop of a whim. They were locked in, many of them, for life. Yet here in this powerful passage that we've read this morning, God causes them to rethink their motives and their heart responses and to see that their life purpose is very different to what they might be living in, and that for them must have been transformational. They were in service working for God's glory. And what an example this is to us today as we think about the places where we work. Who gives us our paycheck? It might be the name of the company that you work for. Yes, that's true. But the reality is, who are you working for? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's no paycheck for you as a volunteer in the work that you do, the bottom line remains the same. You are serving Christ. I'd encourage you all to have a longer look at Colossians 3. there's a number of verses that we can't look at this morning, but all speaking about how you are to work in your place of work, in your voluntary area, wherever it might be, where you put your energies in. And it's the transformation of the heart when you realise that you are working for the Lord God. You know, we can begin to sparkle when we consider all the moments that make up our time on earth. And in that poem that Carrie read to us, or article at the beginning, there were so many things from the beginning of the day and all the things that we get involved in. What happens when we look for God moments in the mundane moments of our lives? Just like the bondservant was encouraged to do in Colossians 3. Illustrator Geraldine Tsai did this painting, and it's called On the Mundanity of Everyday Life, and how we can view this and see the beauty that surrounds us. It's an attitude of mind and heart that says, I'm going to choose to enjoy the mundane task of everyday life. If you're walking the dog, shopping, playing with the children, taking a coffee break, then choose to enjoy the moment. Sit outside and take in creation. See this moment as a time to refresh your soul. When you see every moment in your day as serving the Lord Jesus Christ, ask yourself, how can I honour God in this? Even sorting out the recycling rubbish is an act of worship when you see the motives behind your chore, your wanting to care for God's creation. And for those of you with little children or those who spend time with grandchildren, see this as a time whereby you are shaping and moulding those young lives. And you are wanting them to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. When they look at you, what do they see in your life? What in you speaks of Jesus? It'll be in the little things, in the everyday things that you continuously do, that you will be training and teaching them. And whatever you face, be thankful knowing that you have a task to do that displays God at work in and through you. What an example for us as we live in 2023. If you have tasks to do that you find boring, dull, humdrum, change your thinking to realise that God is at work in your life. If you lack purpose, or you are dissatisfied with life as it stands, remember, the real purpose of all your life is to show that God is at work in your life. Whatever you do, do for Christ. When I have mundane tasks to do, and there aren't many of them in the course of the day, I try to marry them with things that I enjoy. I often carry my phone with me now. And I've got a great Bible app on here. And I open up the Bible app and I turn to where I'm reading and listening to, and I let it play while I'm doing those mundane tasks. I'm not going to say what they are because I might offend you, because that might be something you really love to do. But you'll know what it is for you that makes you think that this is mundane. And I find then that as I listen to God's word, in the midst of doing that task, there's a joy that comes into that in a different way. I find sometimes, many times actually, driving from task to task is not my most favourite occupation. But when I get in the car, I turn off the radio. It's a habit I've now acquired. And I think about, as I'm driving, where am I going? Who will I meet? What's on the agenda for the day. And I pray for that time. I find then when I arrive, and it doesn't even matter if it's from home to the church, I've got a few sets of lights I need to stop at along the way, but I find then that my mind has processed some things. My heart is softer than when I started, and I'm ready to serve God, whatever that might be. I'm not talking about church-related activities, whatever that might be, wherever I am going and whatever that task is. You know, twice this week, because I was taking a note of this as the week unfolded, but twice, on Friday and on Saturday, I can even tell you the days, God prepared my heart for what was to happen as I drove and prayed. And what I thought might happen when I got there was different, but God had prepared my heart for what I needed to do on those two occasions. I want to encourage you as you hold that flyer in your hand today that you were given as you came in for Easter. Just a little humdrum, mundane piece of paper. But the content on that paper is of great value and as a heavenly outreach. I would encourage you to pray over that piece of paper, the invite with the details of our Easter services. Ask God, who will I pass this on to? Who can I ask? That's using the mundane moments of every day and putting it into a heavenly perspective. As I think about our church, though, I do want to just say one special thing. I'm very, very thankful for the many people in this church who serve in so many, what some might call, mundane ways, yet such fruitful ways with a heavenly focus. What they do is a service to the Lord, and they do it so that we might see Jesus more clearly. I pray that your heart will be warmed as you do those tasks, to know that what you're doing is enabling someone else to grow in their faith. Our AGM today is a great example of that. We have to do the tasks required by law. But why else do we do them? For God's glory. That places our AGM in a very different light. And may our prayer each day be, Lord, you gave your best for me. Help me to give my best back to you. Our final song today, the song that's going to lead us into communion, wraps up the heart and the motives that we need to have in all our life. And it's entitled, The Goodness of God. When you think that all your days are held in God's hands, every one of them, how precious is that? I love this picture of the hands together and what is shining through? The cross. Is that a great reminder to us that all that we do with our hands in our everyday mundane activities of life, we need to be reflecting the cross and helping that to be seen. And as we sing the words of this song and we're reminded that God has been faithful, so very faithful to us, let's serve him every day in all we do, joyfully and with thankful hearts. And if this has touched a little raw spot for you this morning, please do something about it. Talk to Tom or to myself or to one of the elders or to someone that you know might journey with you, because God longs for you to be in your life and changing everything that you're involved in when you have that right heart and perspective. Let's just pause and pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are so vitally interested in every area of our life. And we confess, dear Lord, that we find some things actually humdrum, boring, mundane. And we ask that you will help us to transform our minds and our hearts today so that we will see you and be able to live out those God moments in our life day after day. Give us a joy and a thankful heart for all that you bless us with, and help us to be the people of God that you've called us to be. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing the goodness of God.